bringing it back to my house at Rosie on the House with David Byrne, our special in-studio guest this morning from Green ID, the Rosie Certified Whole House Energy Audit. We've been trash-talking Radiant Barrier most of the morning, and we've got Steve in Santan Valley. He says he's had good luck with Radiant Barrier. Let's bring him into the conversation and see what the particular circumstances were. Hey, Steve, really appreciate you calling the show this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right, sir.
You know what? The way you guys made it sound before you went on break was like, we got to get this guy and get his head right. Like, I need a psychologist or something, man.
Well, no, maybe we need you to fix us. Tell us what your situation was.
Well, you know what? Here's how it started. A retired industrial engineer told me about it, and this lady takes statistics on stuff. She, I don't really know much about what they do, but she showed me her bill before and after she put it in.
Okay.
And her and a friend of mine, who I also know, we all worked at the same place, did it. And we did it ourselves. She showed me a quick way of doing it, how important it was creating the air gap in between it.
Okay.
And I found that it does work. Now
Steve,
yes,
the radiant barrier you installed is something that was stapled to the bottom. You have an attic.
Right.
Right. And you stapled sheets of this to the bottom of the roof rafters? Is that what you did?
The bottom, and forgive me for not knowing the terminology, but you know the wood that sticks out? Is that the rafter you're talking about, that board?
That support,
not the bottom of the attic itself, not the wall of the attic, the top ceiling of it, but it's where it will drape. It drapes down so there's an air gap.
On top of the insulation that's already there?
No, this is on the attic ceiling.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. And it comes in sheets, and you're stapling it to the bottom of the roof rafter, right?
Yes, is the rafter that board?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not flat on the roof of the attic. I want to make that clear.
Okay. And let me ask you this. I already keyed off on one very critical thing. You did it yourself. So what was your total out-of-pocket expense?
I spent, let's see, probably about $100-$150 for the rolls of perforated aluminum rolls that I had.
David, go ahead. Push your mic. Gary, Gary?
He's got it. Dave got
okay.
it.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, the labor cost is what kills most people, because people are charging $1.50 to $2 a square foot to staple it up to the roof deck. And if you could do it yourself and just pay $150 for the material, it makes it cost effective. It cuts the ROI.
That's one of the clarifying points, Steve. Had you had that professionally installed, it would have cost you about $2 a square foot, $2.50 a square foot installed.
Okay.
You know, so the fact you got it done for $150 instead of $2,500,
you can recoup $150 pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and they had a system they turned me on to. I did it by myself now.
Okay.
So. I don't like working in the attic. I had to get a special jumpsuit. I got cellulose, which made it easier than
good.
The fiberglass stuff.
All right.
And dust mask, all that.
All right. Well, that's the difference, is you did it for $150 instead of paying somebody, well, a huge profit margin to install it. We're running tight on time. You had an AC question.
Yeah, something you said very interesting. I have a 2,100 square foot home, and you mentioned a few weeks ago that the efficiency of these new units, it's I always thought it was undersized at 4 tons, right, 2,100 square foot. But you mentioned it may be possible to go down to 3.5 with maybe a 14 or 16 SEER. I am going to look into that. My question to you was, can I generally go with the same ducting if I go half a ton lower?
David?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, typically you could. The returns are notoriously undersized here. So if you go with the smaller unit, generally you want to have a 20-inch return for a 5-ton system, 18-inch return for a 4-ton, and a 16 for a 3-ton. So if you're going to 3.5, if you have an 18-inch return with a return plenum, you should be fine.
Okay, and is that difference in price between like a 16 SEER and a 14 SEER really worth that difference? Or
yes,
in your opinion?
Yeah, you'll save money. They have longer coils, so you get more capacity out of the system. You won't get more airflow, but you'll get a lower energy bill.
All right. Well, hey, that's one of the bottom lines. So thank you, gentlemen, very much for your time.
All right, Steve. We appreciate the call. Thanks, my friend. And I want to stay on Steve's air conditioning issue just a little bit. So he's going to – what he saves in downsizing his equipment would be very smart to spend on getting as high efficiency on that smaller unit as he can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect match. You get a right-sized air conditioner, so it's not oversized, but you get a higher efficiency unit, so your bills go down. It may run longer, but it's going to run.
Which is okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. It takes six times more electricity to start an air conditioner than it does to run an air conditioner. What's expensive about air conditioning is starting and stopping, starting and stopping. When people call me crying, my unit's running all afternoon, I say, good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah. In the hottest part of the day, your unit should run a full hour. And that's when you know it's sized right.
And if you're one of the smart consumers we were talking about earlier and you super cool, you cool the house prior to on-peak demand. I take my house to 68 degrees at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I tell the thermostat, don't come back on till you're at 78. It never comes back on. My air conditioners sleep from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock at night. I never buy on-peak electricity. If you're paying more than 11 cents a kilowatt on your bill, you need to call us or call David at
602-926-1650.
Fantastic.